temperature of 15 degrees.
Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. As they say, it's me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, with the Thursday edition of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, live from Marion, Ohio. We take your telephone calls, your emails, your Facebook messages, and other methods of communication. And you may ask, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? We, as I like to say, talk today's top technology topics on the telephone, again, via messaging and other methods of communication. And not only that, if you are a Facebook person, and of course, who is it nowadays, right? I am broadcasting a live video of myself doing the show, and gosh, I look horrendous this morning, but that's okay, you know. I'm not really a morning person, but with the help of coffee, we can change that. So if you're not already a fan of mine, hey, please become one. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy, and in a few short seconds, I'm going to go ahead and broadcast this video over the station's Facebook page. If you're not already a fan or a follower, please become one. Look up WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and you can find out about all the great shows and other stuff that we do at the station. We are the talking place. WWGH 107.1 FM and WWGH1071.com.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? In my server, serve and me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do?
Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam.
Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam. Computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Yes, as Paul has so eruditely and articulately explained, if you have a question about the computer at your home or your office or in your car, in your pocket, wherever it might be, that's okay. You can go ahead and call me, and I will talk to you live on the air. How about that for major coolness? Again, the telephone number here at the studio is 740-383-WWGH. And again, that comes to 740-383-7404. I think I was a little bit reversed over there, but that's okay. As I said, I'm not really a morning person, but I tell you, with the help of some very good coffee, I can become one. Many technology items are in the news today, as tends to happen in the very electronic and high-tech world that we live in March of 2017. There's been some happenings over at WikiLeaks, which we're going to cover very shortly. Of course, our president, I call him the President-Donald, Mr. Trump, and his tweeting, that's always in the news, and a lot of controversy attached there. And, you know, let me know what you think. Again, do call the show, leave a message on my live video, or send me an email. Do you think that the president is tweeting just a little too much, and maybe a few things are getting out there that maybe shouldn't be? And again, I'm kind of like Hillary, and the station's kind of like Hillary. We have our own private email server. I know I do mention that a lot, but it is true, and I think it's important because we take your emails very seriously. As a listener, you're a valued member of the radio station family, and if you want to send me a question, comment, complaint, anything else, I'd love to hear your correspondence. Adam at WWGH1071.com. And unlike certain presidential candidates, I don't delete emails. I read every single one of them, and I also try to reply as soon as I can, even if it's just a thank you for emailing me. So again, Adam at WWGH1071.com. You can email Scott, Sean, and Terry and Charlie, first name at WWGH1071.com. They'd love to hear from you. Again, as a talk station, a proud, important member of the community, what you have to say as a listener and friend are of utmost importance, and please don't forget that, because it really is. One thing we do like to ask you, as a listener of the show, if you'd like to become a supporter, an underwriter, a sponsor of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, that would just be outstanding with a capital O. You'd have my eternal thank yous. Eternal thank you. Yes, thank yous. You'll get a prominent mention on my show throughout the day. We broadcast 24/7 right here from the Marion Center Mall, south side of Marion, Ohio. And we broadcast online 24/7 by the power and magic of the internet at our website at WWGH1071.com. And, of course, you can also listen on TuneIn. That's a great way to listen, especially on a phone or tablet. Just search for WWGH 107.1 in Marion. Anyway, if you have a business organization or you're just an individual, you'd like to be a sponsor, underwriter, or supporter, the rates are very good. We have a lot of listeners. Our station grows in listenership and content every day. Send me an email. Let's talk about it. Adam at WWGH1071.com. It also includes a prominent mention on our website. So I'd love to hear from you. One of many things that you can do when you go to your email software, be it Gmail or Yahoo Mail or AOL or Outlook or Thunderbird, what have you, and correspond with yours truly. It's always appreciated. Little more wintry out there today than it had been, but you know what? The temperature is still actually a little bit above normal. You know, our normal temperature range today, maybe a high of low 40s and low in the 20s, and not too bad outside. Again, not the 70s that we had several days ago, but I will certainly take it. No complaints whatsoever. So again, make the coffee, light a fire if you have a fireplace, or turn the heat on, and we have a great show for you today. Technology topics, again, news and views. Stay warm. We'll make sure that your radio provides the kind of content that will be, to put it mildly, enjoyable, educational, and if it's something with me, entertaining, as I'm not one to shy away from a wisecrack. I want to thank Harry, John, and even Charlie Evers for watching my video today. Feel free to call in, guys. We'd love to hear from you. Again, questions, comments, suggestions, all welcome. See, here's the phone. Give me a call. Don't be shy. I won't bite. 740-383-9944. We mentioned about some leaks over at WikiLeaks and what's going on over there. You may have heard about this. Let's go ahead and talk a little more about it, because privacy of information is certainly important and one thing that we are very concerned about. On Tuesday, WikiLeaks dumped thousands of classified documents onto the internet, exposing hacking programs used by the U.S. CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, this large amount of data is just the first in a series of dumps that WikiLeaks is calling Vault 7. This first installment includes over 8,700 documents. Check this out. Over 8,700 documents and files stolen from an isolated high-security network within the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence in Langley, Virginia. Now, according to WikiLeaks, this first batch of data introduces the scope and direction of the CIA's global covert hacking program, as well as its malware arsenal and dozens of zero-day weaponized exploits against a wide range of U.S. and European company products. Now, check out these products. Major stuff here. Google's Android operating system, that's running the phone that I'm broadcasting my video on. Microsoft's Windows. Can't get any bigger than that. Samsung's smart TVs and Apple's iPhone. Now, the source that's leaking the documents to WikiLeaks did so to raise policy questions about the CIA's hacking program and to open a discussion. This comes again from WikiLeaks. to open a discussion about the agency's power and the government's oversight mechanisms to keep it in check. The CIA offered a quick response to WikiLeaks' actions. Their spokesperson, Heather Fritz Horniak, said, "We do not comment on the authenticity or content of purported intelligence documents." Now, by the end of 2016, according to WikiLeaks, the CIA had produced more than 1,000 hacking systems, as well as Trojans, viruses, and other weaponized malware. Such is the scale of the CIA's undertaking that by 2016, its hackers had utilized more code than used to run Facebook, according to WikiLeaks. They also said that the CIA had created, in effect, its own NASA with even less accountability and without publicly answering the question as to whether such a massive budgetary spend on duplicating the capacities of a rival agency could be justified. Now, in a departure from the way it has carried out previous data dumps, WikiLeaks appears to have taken some steps to avoid collateral damage from its latest revelations. Mark Graff is the CEO of Telegraph. That's kind of cool. That's his name, Mark Graff, and his company is called Telegraph. Gotta love it. He said, "One thing that strikes me this time is the apparent care WikiLeaks took to redact sensitive information. They were much more responsible this time than they've been in the past." So they're exposing some leaks in the government, but doing it in a more professional way. Well, let me know what you think about that. Again, WikiLeaks, certainly an organization which has controversy, but I think they do some good things. Let me know what you think. Your opinions are welcome. Whether or not you agree with me, that's okay. We're an open forum here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. 740-383-9944. Pick up the phone and call me, or leave a message or comment on my live video feed or on our Facebook page. I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, WikiLeaks claimed that it redacted tens of thousands of CIA targets and attack machines throughout Latin America, the U.S., and Europe, and that it avoided including information in its data dump that could lead to the distribution of, quote, armed cyber weapons. Robert Catnach is an attorney with Dorsey & Whitney. He said, "No matter how careful WikiLeaks may have attempted to be, its year zero data dump undermines U.S. national security. WikiLeaks' release will rock the intelligence communities." He said, again, this is a lawyer who knows about this stuff. He's with the firm Dorsey & Whitney. He said the CIA's ability to access the target devices and technologies certainly is compromised, noting that the release appears to contain highly sensitive organizational and operational internal CIA information. The uses that foreign intelligence services might have for such data can only be imagined. Then there's the threat of that actual tool that the CIA has used for hacking having been obtained but not yet released. So the WikiLeaks organization has exposed some information that the CIA probably isn't too happy about. Although no source code for the hacking tools appears to have been included in this batch of data, the information that has been released may still be turned into a weapon. That comes from John Hayes from Black Ridge Technology. "There are going to be some very bright people looking at this, and if they're pointed in the right direction, you may be giving them enough hints to recreate some of this stuff, even if they don't have the source code." Now, these Vault 7 leaks have the potential to be very damaging to the United States intelligence community, according to someone who really should know because he has a good name, Adam Klein, a senior fellow with the Center for a New American Security. And again, his name is Adam, so he's got to be smart, right? "It could mean the loss of some very important tools, the intelligence community. tools that would be directed at great power adversaries, Russia and China, rogue states like Iran and North Korea, terrorist groups, drug traffickers, and criminal enterprises around the world. The extent of the damage may be tempered if WikiLeaks has overplayed its hand. James Scott, he's from the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, said, "Given WikiLeaks' past record, it is unlikely that all or even most of the allegations are true. If nothing else," he said, "the tools and malware capabilities provided are not exceptionally devastating over the tools and exploits already available on deep web markets and forums." Now, the first step, according to James Scott, he's from the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, about the CIA leak exposed by WikiLeaks, the first step the U.S. government should take is to authenticate the data in the dump. If the documents are authentic, then the CIA already knows what secure network was compromised, which tools are now exposed, and what exploits now need to be patched against adversarial use. After the incident with Snowden and the NSA platform leak, it is possible that the agency even has an incident response plan for this scenario. So again, a serious issue over at the CIA exposed by WikiLeaks, and whether or not it's true or exaggerated or 100% accurate as reported, I guess we shall find out in the coming weeks. Again, feel free to give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about these data security exposures by WikiLeaks and other organizations? Adam at WWGH1071.com. Again, email me on, as I say, our private email server, because that's how we roll. You can, of course, also give me a call here at the studio. I am live and in person, and I'd love to hear from you. That would just be awesome. 740-383-9944. As I said, a little more wintry out there today than it had been, but not bad. No snow, just a bit on the nippy side. We still have the issue with our heating system in the studio, so I'm wearing my coat, but that's okay. Talking keeps me warm, keeps me refreshed, and that's always a good thing. Time 28 minutes after 9 in the a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gosh, we're going to be Eastern Daylight Time next time I enter the studio. Time certainly flies, but that's okay. 740-383-9944. That's the telephone number. Would love to hear from you. If you're a parent who wants to show your kids the same classic cartoons that aired when you were a kid, and in my case, that was a long time ago, or at this point, as reruns when you were a kid. Well, I'm not that old. Anyway, here are some helpful tidbits for you. Time Warner is launching a streaming service filled with classic Looney Tunes, Hanna-Barbera, and MGM animation. Want to thank Patrick. I believe he's in Springfield, Ohio. Thank you so much for watching the video. Always nice to have people from other cities watching me do the show. Isn't that cool? Anyway, this library will include Bugs Bunny, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, the Jetsons, and the Flintstones. Love the Flintstones. Always liked Fred. Wilma! Yeah, that's Fred Flintstone for you. See, shouting Wilma, that makes my mouth perform better. And I can do the show and sound more articulate, because that's important in the radio business. Anyway, those are among 5,000 titles in total. That's kind of hard to say, titles in total, but I think I got it. It'll also add new episodes of Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, and Looney Tunes over time. And it'll include some new series, which would be a comedy fantasy version of The Wizard of Oz called Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. That sounds like my kind of program. This service is being called Boomerang, after the cable channel that runs pretty much the same programming. Time Warner says Boomerang will be the first service to stream these shows online, and that it will maintain exclusive access to them. That means the service will be a must-have for anybody who wants to stream the company's huge library of classics. Boomerang will launch this spring with subscriptions between $5 and $40 per year. It'll be available on iOS, Android, and the web, and Time Warner plans to expand to major streaming platforms, including Apple TV and Roku and Amazon Fire, at some point. So some good stuff if you're a fan like I am of the retro cartoons, because I tell you, the current stuff really isn't very good. The retro cartoons, in my opinion, are better. Especially, again, one of my favorites, the Flintstones. So again, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Again, what do you think? What do you think about these streaming services? What do you think about the WikiLeaks story? Anything else you'd like me to address? Any questions about your computer? I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's the number here at the radio station. We are the Talking Place. WWGH, again, broadcasting the old-fashioned way by frequency modulation. 107.1 LPFM would be the official designation, where, of course, that stands for lots of great programming and fantastic and marvelous radio. And since it is 2017, we are high-tech. We're always on top of that stuff. We're broadcasting live on the Internet and on TuneIn. Yes, at WWGH1071.com. That is our website. And just click on the little triangle thingy, as I call it, to listen online. Or again, if you're a TuneIn user, that's one way that I usually listen on my phone. Just download the TuneIn app if you don't already have it. But search for WWGH107.1, and you can listen that way. Make it a favorite. Bookmark the station. We'd love to have you part of our growing and valued listening audience. Coming up after me at 10 a.m., we have news and weather with Scott Spears. We have teasers about previous, past, and current programs. We have obituaries, which are voiced and produced by me. That's one of my jobs here at the station. We have obituaries at 8, 10, noon, and 4 every day. And we also have messages at the top of every hour from our valued sponsors, friends, and underwriters. And then following that, between approximately 15 after 10 and noon, today and every Thursday, it is the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. Now, Charlie Evers, there's a man who's a walking encyclopedia of the Marion area. He gives away prizes, food, tickets to attractions in the area, and a few surprises. And, of course, like me, he loves to take your telephone call, 740-383-9944. So, do you want a chatbot to help you manage email overload? That is the question that Astro has to answer now that it's officially launching an iOS and the Mac. It is the simplest, quickest way to describe what Astro offers today. And when you put it that way, the answer is probably no. But Astro has bigger ambitions than just cramming a chat interface into your email. You know, email already does enough stuff. Do you need a chat interface? Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Anyway, this Astro has ambitions to become the default artificial intelligence system that can talk to all of your work software. It is starting with email, but your calendar, sales software, task management suite, and all the rest are meant to come next. But to start, Astro simply presents itself as a straightforward email app that works well with both Exchange and Gmail. Precisely the thing that many startups have tried before. So they've tried to incorporate chat into email, but not successfully. They've not taken off. But this new app, Astro, looks to better that performance. For Astro, getting a native mail client across Macs and iPhones is just table stakes. But it has to get those stakes right where so many others have not. Apple is a native Astro. Astro is a native email app for Apple's, a lot of A's there, for Apple's two main computing platforms. And it does what most modern email apps ought to do. It separates your email into two groups, priority and other, and allows you to snooze emails until later. It has a unified inbox, reminders, and a swiping interface for triaging email. So you can triage email just like a hospital would triage patients. How about that? Apple Astro will also allow attachments from multiple cloud storage services and lets you set notifications just for the priority inbox. Now, these features alone put it in the right league. Too many apps only work on the phone, but they don't work well on the desktop, leaving users of Gmail and Exchange with a confusing mess of folders. Now, here's the basic idea. Instead of crafting your own filters and carefully noting which of your contacts are important, Astro will watch how you use your email, and its chat box will try to anticipate your needs, almost like GPS, where it tries to anticipate, tries to predict, tries to be smart, and find out how you like to do things, how you like to go, what kind of road you like to use. Astro, it always will snooze emails from your family until the evening. If that's what you do, Astro will learn about that and adjust how it works accordingly. You can tell it to clear out old emails or remind you to email your boss tomorrow. It can even scan your contact list and map out who knows who with some privacy protection so that when you want to get in touch with somebody, it can see who among your contacts is the best person to make an introduction. So Astro trying an email interface, a plugin of sorts that other companies have tried but have not really been successful because it really hasn't been something that has taken off, that people have used. Again, let me know what you think. Your opinions here as a listener of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show are always welcome. The number here at the station is 740-383-9944. I want to remind you also that today and every Thursday, in fact, every Monday through Thursday, between approximately 15 minutes after 12 and 2, it is Now with Scott Spears. And of course, it's not on Now. That's just the name of the show. Now, Scott is a gentleman who has a penchant for celebrity guests. Everybody from Dick Gregory to columnist Eleanor Clift, Marla Gibbs, great actress from The Jeffersons and 227. They're on regularly, as are some local dignitaries. We had a person who was on The 600-Pound Life, Nicole. She's a native of Marion. She was on with Scott a few days ago. All kinds of interesting folks are on the show. And, of course, you can also call in with your opinions, questions, and comments, or email Scott at scott@wwgh1071.com. He's always interested in hearing from you. And sometimes you might even find myself on with Scott discussing politics and who knows what else. Terry Tackett and Sean Kraft, the crafty one. They're also on with Scott regularly. Check it out. Now with Scott Spears on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and, of course, broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com.
We have some news for you about both Google and Apple. We try to give equal time to competing companies, competing products. Let's start with Google and their Android operating system, which is on zillions of phones and tablets all over the world, including the phone that is in my pocket currently. This, unfortunately, is not a happy story. It's one about malware and hacking. But as I like to tell you, keeping your devices safe is certainly the most important thing that we do as information technology people. Not the most glamorous, not the most well-paying, but certainly the most important. More than 1 million Google accounts have been breached by Android malware, which has been called Gooligan. And that was reported last week by Checkpoint. They're a company which keeps an eye on these kind of things. The malware infects devices and steals, goodness sakes, authentication tokens that can be used to access data from various Google apps, from Gmail, Google Docs, G Suite, and Google Drive. the potential is to affect devices running Android 4 and 5. Devices are infected when their users download legitimate-looking apps from third-party Android app stores or click on infected links in a text message or other form of communication, which can lead to infected apps, according again to Checkpoint. Thomas Poor, expert in the field, he is the director of IT and services at Plixer. He said, Android application development and installation is similar to the Wild West. While there are rules and security vetting, it's still very easy to get yourself in trouble. Now, Gooligan, this new malware affecting Android and Google, is a new variant of the Android malware campaign found in the SnapP app, according to Checkpoint. But it could be a variant of Ghost Push, as Adrian Ludwig, Google's director of Android security, has suggested. Now, last year, Google found more than 40,000 apps associated with Ghost Push, noting that the company's systems now detect and prevent installation of more than 150,000 variants of this malware. That's according to Adrian Ludwig, who should know something about this. He is Google's director of Android security. Now, what this new malware called Gooligan does, a Gooligan-infected app sends data about infected devices to the campaign's command and control server. Then it downloads a rootkit. Rootkit essentially infects the DNA, the very root of your particular app. And that can, as you might imagine, cause some very serious consequences. Of course, that raises the question of why Google has not done anything to prevent this risky activity. Michael Jude from Straightcast Frost and Sullivan, another expert we quote here regularly, said, support is expensive, and when you're Google or any other vendor, you have to plan allocation of resources for these things since there are always user problems. Now, once the device is rooted, Gooligan, this very serious, dangerous malware that can affect Google and Android, downloads a new malicious module that lets it do several things. It installs adware, and that can generate revenue for the parties behind this malware. It steals a user's Gmail account and authentication token information, which bypasses Google's two-factor authentication and other security mechanisms. And it installs apps from Google Play and rates them to raise their reputation. So, thinking that Gmail is actually safe if you're infected with this Gooligan, actually it's not. So, in my opinion, Google needs to get on the ball ASAP and stop this and other infestations. Now, this malware also fakes device information, so it can download an app twice, but make it appear that the downloads are on different devices, which doubles the potential revenue from this app. The app can install adware, which allows money to be funneled into the parties behind this very bad program. Now, apps that are infected by Gooligan include Perfect Cleaner, Wi-Fi Enhancer, Memory Booster, Battery Monitor, and Weather. Now, Google has removed from Google Play apps associated with the Ghost Push family, and apps that benefited from installs delivered by the malware. It also has improved Verify apps to protect users in the future. Google has notified users known to have been infected by Gooligan. It has removed their Google account tokens and provided them simple instructions to sign in securely. Further, Google has been working with the Shadow Server Foundation, as well as multiple major internet service providers that provided the infrastructure used to host and control Gooligan in order to take down the infrastructure. Now, according to Adrian Ludwig, who's in charge of security over at Google, devices with up-to-date security patches are safe. Those with a system image like Google's Nexus and Pixel devices can remove the malware through a system software reinstallation. As I mentioned, this affects Android 4 and 5. Now, Android 6 is the latest and greatest version. Folks that own newer devices, including those compatible with the new Android 6.0, have verified boot enabled and can remove Ghost Push easily. Patches often are delayed by wireless carriers because they need to test them for compatibility first. Rob Enderle, expert we quote frequently, said, "Gooligan is turning out to have some serious repercussions. I would not be surprised if Google and the carriers are discussing update frequency right now." So by keeping your Android device updated, you can pretty much eliminate the risk of getting this very dangerous malware on your device. And this certainly brings a point. I use computers with multiple operating systems, including XP. I still use it, even though it was officially retired almost 3 years ago, because I think it works fine. A lot of the software that I use to produce my show, do my promos, do the little tricks of the trade that we have in radio, I use on Windows XP, and it works fantastically. But some of the newer programs require a newer computer, a newer operating system. But with a mobile device, where you're more at the mercy of the operating system maker and your ISP and your phone, cell phone, wireless carrier, it is, in most cases, imperative to keep the operating system up to date. So maybe a little ironic, but that's kind of how it goes. The importance of keeping the software at the most current version with all the patches installed, making sure that it checks for updates as often as possible. You really can't stress that enough with a mobile device. But for a desktop computer, it is more of a case-by-case situation. This kind of makes things, out of lack of a better term, a bit more intriguing for IT people such as myself. Let me know what you think. What's your opinion on updates on the obligation of wireless carriers to keep devices associated with their plans as safe and efficient and hack-proof as possible? Hey, send me an email. I'm at WWGH1071.com. Okay, let's talk about Apple. We talked about Google, and they're the folks behind Android. In the Apple department, what have they done? Well, they do a lot of cool stuff. Bloomberg reported that Apple has assembled a group of robotics and data collection experts who will use unmanned aerial vehicles, that is, drones, to obtain data for updates to its Maps app. Apple, Google, and others in the cartography space currently collect a lot of their data using motor vehicles equipped with high-tech gear. Sam Abuel-Samid, senior research analyst at Navigant Research, said, "That's a very expensive and time-consuming process. Doing it with drones provides the potential to gather the same kind of data in a much more cost-effective manner and do it more rapidly. Drones allow them to cover more territory faster," according to Tim Bajarin from Creative Strategies. He said it's the most obvious way to help keep road data up to speed at all times. However, drones are not human beings, and they are no substitute for a fleet of ground vehicles. Drones cannot replace the ground vehicles because there are many limitations. The viewpoint of drones is very different from a car. For car navigation purposes, the view from a car is more important than an airplane view. And there are other disadvantages to using drones for information collection. Perhaps you've seen a Google Street View car drive down the road. Maybe drive down your street and take a look at your home or business. Well, a Google Street View car or a Street View pedestrian with a huge camera and the backpack pretty much can't miss it, according to Ken Hires from Strategy Analytics. He said a small drone whizzing around may surprise or irritate people. And of course, there's also the issue of privacy. When a ground vehicle collects this information, it is driving along public roads and can only see what's visible from the road. But a drone can peek over fences, look in backyards, and even into rooms behind balconies. So a drone can also be a high-tech peeping Tom. Earlier this year, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, approved Apple's request to operate an unmanned aircraft system to conduct data collection, as well as do photography and videography. Now, this approval from the FAA to use drones for the Apple Map app is subject to a number of conditions and limitations. A drone's speed cannot exceed 87 knots, altitude limited to 400 feet, and its flight operations must be kept at least 500 feet away from all people, vessels, vehicles, and structures, with some exceptions. A drone must be flown during daylight hours and within eyesight of a pilot licensed to operate an unmanned aircraft vehicle. Apple also plans to add an indoor navigation feature to maps to help people find their way around high traffic buildings like airport terminals and museums. The company also will use technology gained with two recent acquisitions, Wi-Fi Slam and Indoor.io, for that purpose. So if you're at an airport terminal, museum, shopping mall, place with a lot of traffic, this Apple Map app can help you get around more efficiently, and that's a pretty good thing. Ross Rubin from Reticle Research said, Apple wants to give iPhone users no reason to download Google Maps. With both of them heavily pushing payment technologies, you can see Apple's interest in being able to direct customers to the exact location of a can of tomato soup in a supermarket if there's an opportunity to pay using their phones. So perhaps an ulterior motive. Use Apple Pay to pay for your product and use the Map app to get you to the product in the store quickly and efficiently. Maps are a crucial component for any company that wants to profit in the mobile space, especially one that wants to build revenue from its service offerings like Apple does. The Maps app is associated with many location-based services, like finding restaurants, shopping, and movies. Mapping services, including navigation, are the most frequently used services in both iOS and Android phones, and one of the top data transaction categories in the mobile networks. Good mapping services will help location-based services and their partners get more customers and get more money. It's one of the most important services on mobile phones, linking to many key partners and developers. Now, the Apple Map app was introduced in 2012. Seems longer, but you know, with computers and mobile devices, 1 year sometimes seems like three or four. Now, it marked one of the biggest missteps in the company's history. Now, since that time, since 2012, when the Map app wasn't exactly as good as it is now, but anyway, in the last 4 years or so, Apple has bumped up the accuracy of the Map app and added features like faster data updates, public transit navigation, better search results, and support for services like Uber ride hailing and OpenTable restaurant reservations. Now, as good as Maps has become, it has a way to go before it can beat its main rival, Google. Michael Blades, senior industry analyst for aerospace and defense at Frost & Sullivan, said, I think Apple can approximate what Google does, but Google seems to have more resources dedicated to developing their maps. While Google seems to want to challenge with this drone idea, the overall information in Google Maps will likely still be better, with Apple perhaps having better information in the local areas where drone-gathered data is implemented. Bottom line, and according to Michael Blades, expert in the field from Frost & Sullivan, bottom line, Apple has vastly improved its Maps app, but I think the Google infrastructure related to its Maps app will keep it ahead for the foreseeable future. So some news from Google and Apple. two of the big players in the IT business. Some potential security and hacking risks at Android and Google, but I think they're taking care of it the best they can. It's not easy, it's not fun, but doing a pretty decent job. And over at Apple, using drones to beef up their map app. But are they still as good as the Google Maps? Love to hear your opinion. Are you an Android person like myself? Are you an iPhone person? Are maps important to you? Do you use GPS all the time? Your opinion is very welcome here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Hey, send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com.
So if you've been kind enough to watch me on Facebook video today and previously was not aware of what I looked like, hopefully it wasn't too scary. Well, I'm a rather light-skinned person, but I'm a brunette, as you probably noticed. If you're a light-skinned person like myself, but you have orange or reddish hair, this may be of interest. You may know that you have high levels of pheomelanin, a type of melanin, in your skin. It is correlated with amelanotic melanoma. That is a very serious skin cancer, which is difficult not only to treat, but to detect in the first place. It's because pheomelanin without amelanotic melanomas blends in with healthy skin, making it difficult to spot, unlike the much darker eumelanin that's related to the majority of melanomas. And you might ask, well, how does that correspond with the medical technology that I often discuss toward the end of my show? Well, people, some very smart researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital's Wellman Center for Photomedicine, they've devised a new technique for visualizing pheomelanin within the skin, potentially helping to identify a deadly cancer early in its development. The details of the research are to be presented in April in San Diego. What we do know is that the technique relies on coherent anti-Stokes Raman scattering. And you might ask, well, why is Adam so interested in that? Well, it's because when I was a chemistry grad student back in the 1980s, I did work on Raman scattering, actually on surface-enhanced Raman scattering, but CARS, coherent anti-Stokes Raman scattering, we delved into that also. So when I saw this story, I found it to be of a lot of interest. Again, I'm from a geek level, but again, chemistry is all around us, and I think it's important that we become aware of what these very smart researchers can do to make people live longer, live better lives, and of course, keep the cost of medical treatment down. Anyway, this type of Raman spectroscopy can identify the chemical composition of prepared samples. It involves two lasers that are used to resonate target molecules to detect their presence at high resolution over a wide sample area. Now, as these very smart people in Massachusetts were doing their research, they identified another related method called some frequency absorption microscopy as being able to spot eumelanin. Now, using both this Raman scattering, the anti-Stokes, they call it CARS, and SFA, which is some frequency absorption, it can provide images of the distribution of the two types of melanin, which are often produces simultaneously in many melanoma patients. So some very creative, intelligent researchers in Massachusetts helping to stop skin cancer in its tracks, the more difficult kind that affects light-complected people with reddish or orange-reddish hair. Again, I'm just a brunette, blue-eyed brunette, but if you are a blue-eyed, light-skinned person with reddish hair, this would certainly be of interest. Medical technology, always an important topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Unfortunately, that show, the Adam the Computer Guy show, starring yours truly, is ending in about 25 minutes. But don't despair. Coming up after the 10 o'clock features, it is our local radio legend, Charles Evers. We just call him Charlie Evers. He's a walking encyclopedia of Mid-Ohio. He gives away prizes, has a lot of fun on the air. He's here till 12, so don't miss it. I'll talk to you Tuesday at about 10 minutes after 9 a.m. Adam the Computer Guy.